Good morning. We have 16 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time now is 8:50, and it's time for the pre-opening market report with WYLL Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that U.S. job growth slowed slightly in December. U.S. non-farm payrolls increased by a seasonally adjusted 155,000 last month. The unemployment rate was 7.8%, the same as the prior month after an upward revision to the November figure. Both readings were slightly worse than expected by economists who were polled before the release of the information. Minutes of the Fed's December 11th, 12th policy meeting released yesterday showed that officials were divided about when to halt bond buying programs, with a few wanting to continue the programs until year end, several others wanting to end the programs well before then, and some wanting to halt them right away. If the Fed buys bonds at the current pace through the end of the year, it will be expanding its $2.9 trillion portfolio by another $1.02 trillion. This morning, USDA released its export sales report for the week ending December 27th. Here are the numbers in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 14.7. Next year, 0.1. Corn this year, 1.9. And by the way, that is down 53% from the previous week and 63% lower than the prior four-week average for the corn. Soybeans, 16.0 for this year and next year at 2.3. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,408, is up almost 17 points. The NASDAQ, 3,099, is down slightly more than 1. And the S&P 500 is 1,461, and it is up just a smidge over 2 points.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tranquil weather will continue across the U.S. Midwest as we go forward through this weekend, but there will be a new storm system that will bear down on the region as we get into next week, producing another round of rain and perhaps a little bit of snowfall. The storm system, though, will be a little bit smaller than some of the systems we've seen in recent past weeks. Nevertheless, it's additional moisture over ground that's already saturated, and there is going to be some runoff resulting from it. This storm system, like many of the others, will take a path that will bypass the middle Mississippi River basin for a large part of the region, at least, and will likely see the runoff from this event most significant in the Ohio River Valley. River levels in the middle Mississippi and lower Missouri River systems continue to decline, and I don't think this storm system will offer much change in that situation. Even if it's only a brief little rise, it's not likely to be a significant one. A little later next week and into the following weekend, we're likely to see much colder air plunge into the middle of the country. And once that occurs, the river systems will continue to experience a further decline in their levels because more ice buildup will likely take place on the systems themselves. We'll likely see temperatures well below average for a while, beginning a week from now, more likely in the second weekend of the two-week outlook, and specifically from around the 15th of the month out beyond into maybe sometime around the 20th. The cold that's being advertised is a little speculative at this point, but a lot of the longer-range models are out there suggesting that this trend will change, and indeed we will see colder weather. I have confidence that we will see a transition. I'm not convinced how cold it will be yet, but we'll continue to monitor the situation rather closely. There's potential that temperatures will be cold enough across some areas in hard red winter wheat country that the need for greater snow cover will be necessary. Some of the snow that's out there today will be melted away over the weekend into early next week as temperatures rise far enough above freezing to induce that melting. And it does look as though when the cold air comes in a week from now, we will likely see a little snowfall occur ahead of it. So for now, we're not terribly concerned about the transition, but it is something worth watching in the long run. Specifically across the Midwest, the storm system that comes in next week will likely have a potential of producing anywhere from maybe 3/10 of an inch to 8 or 9/10 of an inch of rain in quite a few areas, with some potential for even greater amounts. Wouldn't be surprising at all to see some 1 to 2 inch amounts in a few locations, mostly right at the Ohio River. It's just a little soon to get very specific about that event because the models have been rather inconsistent with this particular storm system. But we should see widespread moisture across the region, and the snowfall potential on the backside of the system should be relatively light, maybe 1 to 4 inches. And again, it is somewhat unclear how much cold air will be available for this particular storm system. Prior to this event, there will be a weak disturbance that will impact parts of the Midwest this weekend. The disturbance will also come into the region from the southwest, and it'll be a very minor event that will occur later tonight and tomorrow, producing a mix of rain and snow across the region. Snow accumulations will be relatively light. A dusting to an inch or two is about all that we can expect, but it will still bring cloudiness and moisture into the region, limiting the amount of drying time that we'll have between that system and the larger one that will occur during the middle part of next week. The cold air that comes in behind all of this, again, is more than a week away. We will see somewhat milder conditions for a while. Temperatures this afternoon are expected to run mostly in the 20s and 30s across the region. But by the time we get to the middle part of next week, we'll see temperatures across the region in the 30s and 40s, and it wouldn't be surprising to see a couple of extremes over 50 degrees on the south side of the Ohio River. Low temperatures at night will still be in the teens and 20s across many areas, with some single digits in the far northwest. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's go ahead and look at how futures are trading. These are the electronic numbers. In Kansas City, March wheat 8.12 1/4. It's up 1. July is 8.24 1/4 unchanged. March wheat in Chicago, 7.53 3/4, down 1 3/4. July, 7.69 1/4, down 2. March corn, 6.86 3/4, down 2 1/2. July, 6.82 1/4, down 4 1/4. December, 5.81 1/4, down 6 1/4. January soybeans, 13.92 1/4, down 10 3/4. March, 13.73 1/4, now a half, down 12. July, 13.64 1/4, down 12 1/4. November, 12.81 1/2, down 10 1/4. January soybean meal, 404.50, down 110. March, 399.80, down 440. January soybean oil, 49.98, down 23. March, 50.38, now 39, down 31. February live cattle unchanged, now down 1/4 at 133.82 1/2. January feeders, 152.70, up 35. February lean hogs, 86.95, up 55. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, looks like we're trying to push soybeans down further.
Yeah, we're in a negative technical trend right now, and I don't know that I see us changing that unless we see something come into this market that we just get so oversold that we see a little short covering rally maybe, or you know, something changes, which the most obvious thing there would be the report a week from today. So
well, I mean, we're going to be pretty soon hit by an onslaught of news out of Brazil about soybeans and yield potentials, and if the news is anywhere near what USDA is saying, I can't imagine these prices would hold.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got some pretty good solid support, not too far below the market. But one thing that we're kind of seeing, I think, is, you know, with the dollar stronger here, that's just another, you know, another negative factor that's out here this week that's you know, pushing us lower. But I think, you know, you get down in that 13.50 area on the March beans, I think there's some pretty solid support there. Now, you know, in the meantime, I guess it's not highly unlikely that we could see maybe, like I say, a little, just because we're so oversold, maybe a little bit of a bounce off this. We've seen that the last couple of weekends here, but I think, you know, it'll be met by selling if we see that.
Very quickly, a word on the corn.
Corn, I think, is interesting. We're picking up one thing that the funds are pressing, like the new crop corn down, selling there, but buying short-term calls. I think that's kind of interesting, and I think that's kind of where the trade is at. We get in here, it's going to be hard for us to get away from this gap on this old crop corn right now until we see what the report says a week from now.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. March corn, 687 and a half, now a quarter down two. July, 683 down 3.5. March beans, 1375 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter. November, 1282 and a quarter, down 9.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.